It would be mighty nice to have those in the far reaches to come forward. It's nice to have all of you here. It's Christmas, and guess what? There's a lot of people missing this morning, but we're glad you got up and came this Christmas day to honor the reason for the season, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Let us begin with prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that you came to this earth to be a ransom, a savior, a redeemer of all mankind. We are grateful to you, Lord, for setting aside the glory that you had with the Father in order that you might become one with us and give to us the gift of eternal life. And we are here today for no other reason than to magnify you and to give you glory and honor and praise. Now, Lord, as we honor you and worship you, send the Holy Spirit that he might walk among us and that he might touch our lives afresh and anew. We need your presence in our midst that we might be able to be encouraged, strengthened through your grace and presence to enter into the new year that is just ahead of us and serve and live for you, for your glory, your honor, and praise. We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. First on our list of worship today is a solo by Laura Kelly, O Holy Night.
They're having technical difficulties. Okay, good.
Our dear.
Heights has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their throne and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our father, to Abraham, and to his posterity forever.
Rejoice, 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 rejoice. My soul rejoices in the Lord. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. My soul rejoices in the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. My soul rejoices in the Lord. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. My soul rejoices in the Lord. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. My soul rejoices in the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in my God. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. My soul rejoices in the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. My soul rejoices in the Lord.
Amen. Page 180 in your hymnal.
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring
Oh,
number 206 in your hymnal.
Alleluia, alleluia.
star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Page 193.
around the world, and I see the fruit of being a citizen of America, but I am marching to another drumbeat. And that's the drumbeat of heaven. King of kings and Lord of lords. And it's always a joy and a pleasure to be part of his kingdom. I'm asking you this morning, give unto the Lord tithe offerings, and God will bless you as you honor him. Brother Jesse, Brother Tom, would you guys come and receive our morning offering?
In the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, 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 and again I say rejoice, 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 and again I say rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice.
Amen. Give him praise this morning in the house of God. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. He's worthy. All right, Brother Jacob is going to bless us with a solo.
I'd like to thank everyone who came out on this day, this precious day we take to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. And the reason that we're here today, the only reason that we have Christianity as a whole, is because of what Jesus did for us. He is the sole purpose of Christianity's being. And that's what this song says. This song says, for all that you have done for us. Soul's forever song, my story and my life. From mountaintop to valley low, through laughter.
surely the goodness of my God will follow all the years. For all that you have done for us, for every battle won, we'll raise a song to bless your heart for all that you have done. In all our failures and regrets, you've always led us home. Redemption's arm has raised us up, our triumph in the storm. For all that you have done for us, for every battle won, we'll raise a song to bless your heart for all that you have done.
Even though it is a joyful time, Christmas, we're always reminded that there are those who still suffer. And we are somewhat saddened this Christmas season to have lost one of our long-standing members who went to be with Jesus, Brother Richard West. I was out to see him Friday before last and gave communion to he and Shirley. He said to me, "I hope the Lord hurries this along." And just a couple days later, he closed his eyes and went to be with the Lord. Long standing, 36 years he was with the church. Remember the day he got saved, gave his heart to Christ. How the Lord just transformed him. Never forget what he went to work the next day. County roads out at Greensburg, drove truck for county roads, and he said to his boss, "Should I get a new Social Security card?" Boss said, "Well, I don't know why." He said, "You got a new man on the job this day."
Amen.
from that day on, he has served Jesus.
Praise God.
And served the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I have another reason to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. Also, Sister Marcia Hallbaker has been in the hospital this week, suffering from a viral infection that settled in her lungs. And she was hoping to go home yesterday, but they said no. So she's spending Christmas Day in Waynesboro Hospital. So we want to pray for Sister Marcia. The Lord will minister to her in a very special way. How many know somebody that could use prayer? Oh, wow. Yes, let's pray. Pastor Peel, would you lead us in this prayer?
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, it is with great sorrow that we had to say goodbye to Brother West, Lord, but we know he's in your presence and he's in your joy and not suffering any longer, Lord. And we just thank you for that, and we look forward to that great reunion day when we all see one another once again. Father, we pray for healing for each and every one who is represented here. We pray for Sister Marcia, Lord, that you would just take care of this. Pray for my grandson, Josiah, as he is fighting a sickness, Lord, and every need and every unspoken request, Lord, and every unsaved loved one that is represented here today, Lord. We lift them up to you,
yes.
And we thank you. You are our Lord and Savior. You are mighty. You are mighty to heal. And we just ask for healings, Lord. We ask for blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I doubt that there's anyone in here who could guess what song I listened to this morning.
Silent Night.
No. Anyone else want to take a guess? Hark the Herald? No.
Jingle Bells.
Rudolph.
Not Jingle Bells, not Rudolph.
Aberdeen, Mississippi Blues.
Aberdeen, Mississippi Blues. No.
No.
Highway to Heaven. Highway to
Heaven?
No. No. Anyone else? Huh? I've got a $5 bill for the one that can guess it.
Larry Bird.
Larry, did you know?
No.
Make it bigger.
Make it bigger. I got a text from a young lady this morning. He said, I'm sad, and I just don't know how to touch Jesus. Could you help me touch Jesus? And so she sent me a song to listen to. And I listened to that one, and then she sent another text with a, well, I'll send you one that's more your style. Christmas song, and so that was O Holy Night. But that first one was Let It Go from Frozen. You could have guessed all day and would have never guessed.
Yeah, I would never guess that.
That I listened to for Let It Go.
So what did you think of it?
From Frozen. Fantastic. Yeah. First time I've heard of Frozen, but I never listened, I never saw it or anything. So I wrote her back. And I said, I want you to take today, Christmas Day, I want you to get your Bible. And I want you to open it up and read about the baby Jesus who came to love you. Read about this one who invited you to bring your cares and cast them on Jesus. And then after you bring your cares to Jesus and cast them on Him, I put in parentheses, you gotta let it go to Christ. Pray for that young lady. The Lord would minister to her. I'm sure most of you have opened some presents. I'm wearing mine. One of my good friends got me this tie, For God So Loved the World. Isn't it wonderful to have a gift? We have a young lady in our congregation this morning. Jesus has given her a wonderful gift right here before Christmas. And she wants to give a testimony to you this morning about Jesus and his gift.
Most of you all know, last night I talked to you and most of you guys wasn't here. 3 weeks ago I relapsed. Drugs took over my whole body. I was weak. I couldn't move. I couldn't get up. I couldn't even eat. I couldn't get off the couch. So the first number I had in my phone, first number popped up, was Pastor Lay. I called him and I said, "Pastor Lay, are you busy?" Of course he was, but he took the time to come to my house and pray with me. He saved me once again. As I was sitting on that couch and he was talking to me, I felt something different. I felt like I was whole all over again. I could sit up. My face wasn't pale no more. My lips could move. I looked at Pastor Lay and I said, "You know, I feel different." He says, "I see a difference in you." So I'm asking everybody today that if you have a weakness and you feel like you can't get up and you can't pray or you feel like nothing's in this world's going to help you, well, you're wrong. Because he can help you. You have a great shepherd. You have two shepherds, actually. You have Pastor Eric and you have Pastor Jonathan Lay. You have their wives. They're here to help you. If you have kids, make sure you raise them better than you've ever been raised. I let my kids down, and now I'm able to sit and look at them and say, "I'm going to be the mother I was supposed to be in the beginning." Amen. The Lord blessed me, and he can bless you. So I just ask everybody, if you know somebody that's doing drugs, or if you know somebody that has an alcoholic problem, or even saying curse words for that matter, pray for them. Get on your hands and knees. It doesn't matter where you're at. You could be in a restaurant. You could be in a school. You could be on the sidewalk walking down the road and you see somebody doing something out of the blue that they're not supposed to be doing. Pray for them. Because prayers do work. And there is a God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand this morning.
Praise the Lord.
We're serving a God who is able.
Yes.
It's not about man, it's about him. He's the King. We're so grateful to have each of you here this morning. I see some neighbors and I see some folks that have, you're here for the first time. What a joy to have you with us in worship today. And we just invite you to come back and share with us some more. One lady came in this morning and I said to her something about Christmas and coming to church. She said, "This is the first Christmas in church I will have been in since I was a little child." So good to get a taste of Jesus. And so good to have family we can share with. So we invite you to come and be with us again. Check us out another time when it's not just Christmas. I'd like to take this moment to draw your attention to the Scripture. For several months I've been preaching on who is this Jesus. This is the Jesus we'll see this morning that was turned away. No room for him. My text is Luke chapter 2 verses 1 through 7. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Holy Spirit, this is your word. This is your message to us about this babe Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, who came to this world because he loved us. He cherished us. In that while we were yet sinners, he was willing to die for us. Open our hearts. Anoint our minds with the Holy presence and touch these feeble lips of clay to minister your word this morning. Amen. There was a children's church. No children's church. You're going to have to sit out and listen to me today.
Now, if you don't listen, I'll make you go up there and stand beside Eddie.
No, he won't. There was a miraculous taxation. How many believe that it's God's will for us to be taxed? Everybody just that July, what? 15th?
It's his will in that he tells us to abide by the law.
Abide by the law. How many enjoy in July taking your tax to the mailbox and saying, "Wow, whoopee, I get to give to Uncle Sam." God arranged this time of taxation. Listen, three reasons why. The taxation was used by God to fulfill his plan for the birth of the Messiah. Guess where Joseph and Mary set up housekeeping? It wasn't in Bethlehem. It was in Nazareth. They didn't want to go to Bethlehem. But they were now forced because of this taxation. It had been prophesied many centuries before that the Messiah, Jesus, would be born in Bethlehem. But he was living, in his mother's womb down in Nazareth. How in the world is God going to get him to Bethlehem to be born? Guess what? They had to go back home to register. The taxation forced Joseph to Bethlehem. Everyone had to return to the city of his birth. Notice that he had to go back to his place of birth in Bethlehem. The taxation led to the fulfillment of Scripture despite of man's plans. I could almost hear the conversation when Joseph got the notice, you have to go back to Bethlehem to register, and Mary is apparently 9 months pregnant. And Joseph comes in with the letter and says to Mary, "We have to go up to Bethlehem," she said, "like fun we are." Now I'm ad-libbing here, in case you didn't notice that in your Bible. "Joseph, look at me. I'm 9 months pregnant. And you want me to ride a burrow from here to Bethlehem? What's come over you, boy? Huh? Sorry, honey. There's just no way around it. The king signed the decree, and we've got to go. So here is this obedient, wonderful, the kind of wife all we gentlemen are looking for. Yes, honey, whatever you say. Hello? And so they make this trek. I'm sure it wasn't pleasant. I've never been pregnant, thank the Lord. But you ladies that have been, I see you walking around. I saw one come in last Sunday, and the way she was walking, I can't imagine. But Mary riding on a donkey the whole way back, just because God said, "This is where your baby boy is going to be born." Not only was the taxation God's plan for this whole situation, the place where he was born is shocking. Jesus was not born in comfortable surroundings. Shockingly, he was born in a stable, laid in a manger, a feeding trough. How many has ever fed cows? I have. I fed the horses and the cows. And let me tell you, if you reach down into that feeding trough after the cows have been there, guess what? Slobbering everywhere. The only place that Mary had to lay her precious little baby was down in that slobbered over manger with some oats or wheat or hay down in the bottom of it. Born in a stable, the birth is covered in one simple verse. Yet much can be gleaned from it. Jesus born. Now, how many has ever been in a stable? I used to have to muck the horse stalls for my grandmother. I used to have to clean the ditch out when I helped Linda, my then-to-be wife, milk the cows at her place. And I know what it's all about. Smelly. And so that's where Jesus had to be born. He was born not only in a smelly stable, but in a place of poverty. If Joseph had been wealthy, if he had the money, I'm sure he would have bought a room. You know, when you walk into some place and you flash $100 bills, they're going to want to give you something for what you want. Amen. But he didn't have the money. So he had to take him to a place of smell. Jesus was born in obscurity and in loneliness. The birth took place away from people, They were all alone, just Joseph and Mary, in that smelly stable. And she began to give birth. He was born in humility. He was born in humiliation, not in a hospital, not in a comfortable home, not in the home of a friend or a relative, not under a doctor's care, not even under the stars, but inside of a smelly stable. Unimaginable place to give birth to your baby. How many of you ladies have ever given birth? If husband would have said to you, "We're going out to the barn," when you said, "Honey, it's time to go. My water's broke. It's time to get into the hospital and see the doctor." "Oh, honey, I forgot to tell you, we're going to the barn." No. Humiliation. To have your baby born in a smelly stable. Too poor to have a room. Not only that, Jesus was born into a corruptible world full of sin and selfishness, greed and unkindness. This is seen in the fact that the world, represented by the innkeeper, was so wrapped up in its affairs that it could not help a woman who was bearing a child. What kind of a man was he? Here is a pregnant lady on his doorstep. Anybody with any common sense, anyone who had any kind of a caring heart whatsoever, would have said, "Yes, I'll give you my room." But no, he's tied up in his own worldly affairs to the point that his greed and his hatefulness of life turned away. No one would make room for Mary in the inn. Money and personal comfort were more important to all who had become aware of the situation. If there had been a nice businessman sitting inside the inn, out in the lounging area, and he heard that there's a pregnant lady about to give birth, if he had been any kind of a kind, caring individual, he would have said to the innkeeper, "Here's my room. I'll sleep in the lobby." But no, not one. Nobody was willing to give place for Mary to give birth. 2,000 years have passed. Believe it or not, there are still people who do not have room for Jesus. Think about that. Their life is too busy. They are too caught up in material possessions. They are too caught up in their own activities to have any place for Jesus to be part of their life. Kind of reminds me of the story that was told by Jesus himself. When he went to his own people, he had been out ministering and he decided to go back home where he was born, back home where mom lived, back home where dad was, back home where he grew up, where his brothers and sisters lived. And when he got back there, he went as normal and taught in the synagogue. And the people who knew him, the people who knew his family, were there and they heard him speak and they watched him doing miracles and healing the sick. And guess what? They should have said, "Woo! Our boy has come home! Look!" But no, they were offended. And Jesus had to say to his disciples, a prophet is without honor. Everywhere, even among his own people, they would not accept him. They would not welcome him, but rejected him and refused him to the point that he couldn't even minister in his own hometown. Then there was that fella who came to Jesus and said, I've kept all the law. I've done everything just right. I've gone to church. I've got Sunday school pins clear to my knees. My name is on the roll. And yet when he came to Jesus, he said, what else do I need to do? And Jesus surmised that he was a wealthy young man and said to him, go sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, come follow me. What did the young man do? Went away with his head down because he had many possessions. He rejected following Jesus. No room for him. Then there was that guy that Jesus called to follow him and to do his will. And his answer to Jesus was, well, my father died and I got to go bury him. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Come, follow me. No, I have to take care of business otherwise. And there was that certain great man who made a big supper. I don't know about you, but I always like supper. Now the city folks call it dinner. But you know, I'm a country boy, so supper time. He made this huge supper and he sent his servants out to the invited guests and said, everybody come, the supper is prepared, food's on the table, come sit down and eat with me and rejoice with me. And when his servant went out to find them, what did they do but start to give him excuses? Sorry, sir, I bought a piece of land and got to go look at it. He's a dumb businessman, isn't he? Whoever bought land without seeing it first? Then there was that guy that was invited to the supper and he said, oh, I can't come now. He said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. How many oxen is that? 10. 5 yoke of oxen and I've got to go prove them. Another dumb businessman. Whoever buys a yoke of oxen without looking at them first. They could have been skinny. Ribs sticking out. Couldn't pull a plow to save their life. And yet he bought them ahead of time, dummy.
Can you say that one more time, Pastor
Lay? Apparently you're thinking about somebody and I've already spoken. Then there's this guy that he just got married. And he sent word back, sorry, I can't come. I just got married, therefore I can't come. He put it off on the wife. Blamed his wife. You know, I'm pretty sure that that guy would have said to the man and his wife, bring your honey on in. We've got plenty to eat. After all, 2 other ones, they couldn't come. You see the excuses? Rejecting the invitation to come and be with Christ. There's plenty of those that are living around us. I dare say that you and I pass people every day in our life who have a no vacancy sign hanging around their neck. Jesus is not welcome here. There are churches today that wouldn't even let Jesus in the door. They have a no vacancy sign. Start to preach what Jesus preached. Start to teach what Jesus taught. And they'll say, that's not welcome here. I want to ask you the question in closing this morning. And it's only 2 minutes of 12. I'm getting through in good time. How many of us have room for Jesus? How many of us have room to say, yes, Lord, here's part of my time. I want to spend it with you. Yes, Lord, I want to take the time to read your Bible and learn about you. Yes, Lord, it's Sunday morning and it's 15 minutes till 10:30. It's too late today, Lord. I'll see you next Sunday. I did something bad last Sunday. Somebody showed up. They hadn't been here for a year. And as I was greeting them after church, I said, I guess I'll see you on Easter. I'm going to have to call him up and remind him Easter's just only a couple weeks away.
Pastor Lay.
What?
I'm not supposed to be doing that.
Don't you preach to me. I'm preaching to you. Do I have room for Jesus? If Jesus speaks to my heart, my life, my soul, and says, hey, I want you to go to Bethlehem. I want you to go the extra mile. I want you to invite me in. I'm inviting you to come to my supper. Will you receive my invitation? I'm inviting you to be part of my kingdom. Am I welcome in your life? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Jesus, you're the greatest birth that ever happened to this world. There's never a man, never any other man, any other woman who's been born into this world that is any greater than you. You're the greatest of all. When your little feet started to pitter-patter on the dirt floors in Bethlehem, there was no greater little baby boy who crawled around. No greater little child than when you came to when you were in town and the wise men came to see you. There was no greater young man than you to turn the lathe in Joseph's woodworking shop. There was no greater one than you who stood in a synagogue or on a mountainside or by a river stream and preached the gospel of truth. When it came to dying, there was no greater death than yours. When you died, you took your blood sacrifice into the very throne room of the Father himself and offered it as a substitution to cover the sins of all humanity. And there is no greater burial Oh, we've seen presidents, funerals, and pomp and circumstance. They carried you by the light of the moon and buried you in a borrowed tomb. No greater man was ever laid in a tomb than you. And there's never been a greater man than you, who on the third day got up, rolled the stone away, and became a redeemer, resurrected redeemer for the sins of humanity. And there's never been a greater than you who has gone to heaven and sit down on the right hand of the Father to make intercession for me. And Lord, I don't want to ever say to you, I don't care how busy I am. I don't care how much you've blessed me with material possession. I don't care about anything else. There never, Lord, can be a time when I'll look you in the face and say, I don't have room for you. Lord, I open my heart. I open my soul. I open my being and I say, Master, come into every room. My heart is open to you. Every chamber is for you to dwell in. Make yourself at home. I have room for you. How about every one of you?
Amen. Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
If it's so.